Hey, everybody. We have a sponsor here at Jiu-Jitsu Geeks. It is Avid Gamer Wear, a gaming brand, lifestyle brand for gamers. Y'all play games, don't you? Brian, Aaron?
I love games.
Games are my favorite thing.
Aaron?
Every day.
Every day. That was forced. That was forced. Hey, check them out at AvidGamerWear.com or at Instagram at AvidGamerWear. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Just to let you guys know, Hanzo Grace loves the Jiu-Jitsu Geeks. Extending control. A buckle and bump,
redirect your force. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Jiu-Jitsu Geeks. I am E.T., and with me is my co-host, Brian. Brian, how you doing?
Doing well. How you doing, E.T.?
Doing well, doing well. Before we jump into our guest today, I want to thank everybody that's been listening. Our downloads have gone through the roof lately.
Yeah?
Yeah, I check them pretty much all the time, and even our back catalog has jumped up. So, hey, whatever you're doing, if you're telling a friend or if you're listening to it over and over again, which is probably Brian's mom.
Thanks, Mom.
Yep. We want to thank Sandy Engel. Mm-hmm. he's cringing because that's really her name.
Oh, God.
So thanks, everybody, for sharing this because, you know, when you – it gives us a little bit more legitimacy and we can get really cool guests on, which is the perfect segue to introduce who we're talking to today.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking to Brendan Hufford from OK Kimonos. Brendan, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing awesome. Sandy, thanks for listening. Appreciate it.
Love you, Mom.
Brendan, we got a few things to talk to you about because you're quite prolific in the jiu-jitsu community.
Oh, thanks, and I appreciate the kind words.
Well, first we want to talk about OK Kimonos, which is your baby, right?
Yeah. It's my pride and joy.
And you have kids, too, and that's kind of telling.
I do. I have my son's 1.5, and he's freaking awesome. Do either of you guys have kids?
I have a 4-year-old, and, you know, it's a fatherhood is awesome.
It's not just fatherhood, but, so listen to this. This is the craziest thing about having a little kid. Like, you don't remember when you were that age, so you're experiencing it for the first time.
Yep.
And to be able, like, to watch his eyes when he learned how to run, like, I can't imagine all of a sudden, like, within a week, quadrupling in speed. I'd be like, all of a sudden I turn 30 and I can fly.
That's a good point.
Nuts? Like, it was so wild to see him, and it just, like, he was so freaked out by it, but he just could go so fast all of a sudden. I was like, wow.
Well,
like, my whole life I've been able to run.
He's like, I've been unplugged from the Matrix.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly right. He knows Kung Fu. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's like, can you do this, Dad?
And it's so cool because you get kind of sad because you're like, he's not going to remember any of this.
No.
And it's so amazing.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I've got a 4-year-old, and we're starting to work on jiu-jitsu now, and that's really fun. That's coming up for you too. And you look at the kid, and you see crazy flexibility and dexterity, and you're like, oh, if you just could hold the concepts of submissions,
yeah,
you would be a killer.
Yeah,
I'm so hateful when I see him. He like will fall and do a roll, and I'm like, if that was me, I'd have like a bum shoulder for a week, and I would have torn my knee.
But he does it with a laugh, with a smile.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, all the time. It's like we take them to this little kid's, like, toddler tumbling class and just watching these kids throw themselves. And the kids can hang off of, like, parallel bars for, like, a minute and a half, and it's like, okay. Like, I've got some pretty serious, like, jiu-jitsu grip strength, and I'm like, I'm impressed.
Oh, yeah. My kid's doing gymnastics, and they tell me, like, oh, they're flexible because they haven't developed the muscles that prevent them from moving in that direction.
Yeah.
And I haven't either, and I'm in my 30s.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
that's true. You're the weakest man I've ever seen. Yeah.
Hey, what is your background in jiu-jitsu, Brendan? Before we talk about OK Kimonos, give us some background history of you.
So I got into jiu-jitsu. I was trying to download. I don't know if you know those of us that are a little older will remember LimeWire.
Oh yeah.
I was trying to download episodes of Family Guy. And I downloaded one. It said Family Guy. I'm like, cool, downloaded it. It was Ken Shamrock versus Tito Ortiz.
That is mislabeled.
Back when they used to have like pro wrestling style entrances with like pyrotechnics and, you know, like the smoke and the fog and stuff.
Right.
And I was just like, this is the coolest thing I've ever freaking seen.
I think this is the only time being Rickrolled was in a positive direction.
Right. It was perfect. And it was like, isn't that wild? A misdownloaded episode of Family Guy changed the course of my entire life.
That's crazy.
Okay. I downloaded it, and I was like, all right, cool. So I started watching more and watching more, and then I found out we had, like, I went to Ithaca College in upstate New York, and I found out we had, like, an MMA club.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
So I skipped a bunch of classes and went to that.
Nice.
At night, instead of going to class.
Priority.
Whatever.
Yep.
Worth it. No. And, you know, I didn't get taught anything. Like, to be fair, there was no learning. It was just rolling.
Right.
I didn't know what was going on. So I did that in college. I moved back. I end up outside of Chicago. And I'm like, well, I'm going to train. I heard of this guy, Miguel Torres. He was supposed to be Stefan Bonner's coach. We all know Stefan Bonner from The Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah.
So there's this picture of Stefan Bonner with this old guy behind him and this little Mexican guy behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, his coach is clearly the Mr. Miyagi-looking guy behind him. That's got to be Miguel Torres.
Oh, boy.
So I go into the gym, and I'm, like, looking around for this older dude. I'm like, hey, what's going on? And they're like, what are you here for? I'm like, well, I want to train. Like, have you trained before? And me, I wasn't trying to sound arrogant, but I'm like, yeah. I thought I had.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, where's Miguel? And he's like, I'm Miguel. And I'm like, oh, no.
Uh-oh. You're young.
Jesus. Yeah, he's this gangly, like, $135, $140 mm-hmm. Mexican guy. And I'm like, all right, cool. And he's like, do you have gloves? Oh, so he Jedi mind tricks me. Day one. He goes, do you want to do jiu-jitsu? And he gestures over, and bless his heart, the guy teaching jiu-jitsu that time, because Miguel's training for a fight. The guy training jiu-jitsu, his name is Dave. Dave is like 50 and about 110 pounds soaking wet, and he's training with like two women. And I'm like, all right, old guy, two women. And he's like, Miguel goes, do you want to do jiu-jitsu? And gestures towards them. And he goes, he like leans in. He's like, or do you want to do MMA? And I look over. And this is old school MMA training when it's like, put on your 4-ounce gloves and get your mouthpiece and your shorts. And like, that's how we train.
Mm-hmm.
We just fight. And I'm like, well, that's not much of a choice. So I get Jedi mind tricked into doing MMA training. And he's like, all right, you're going to, this guy's going to start your guard. I have no idea what a guard is.
Mm-hmm. Oh my
so I'm
God.
Like, okay, is that where you get between my legs and I try and hold on to you and not get killed? Awesome. So me and this guy Mike, we slap hands and bump fists, and he's like, go. And Mike punches me square between the eyes.
Holy cow.
Like, lights out.
Welcome
like,
to the gym.
Like, head hits fist, head bounces off the mat, and I'm like, oh, no. Like, just straight into the deep end with the Sharks. Day one.
Oh, man.
So that was the beginning of the journey, and then I was like, I kind of need to learn some of this stuff.
Yeah, you realize how much you don't know when you go with guys like that, you know?
Yeah, man. And it was like, you know, I don't know how everybody feels. Like, some people don't mind it. I hate getting hit in the face.
Yeah,
it's not good.
I'm not a very pretty guy, but I don't like getting hit in the face. Like, I just don't.
You're trying to keep the look you have. Yeah. I understand.
I can't afford to lose any more hit points here. We're in the red as it is, so let's just try and keep it.
It's like, I'm at DeVito level, Danny DeVito level. I don't want to go to, like, Neanderthal level. I understand.
Right. Nobody wants to see the stage after this.
Man.
So that was it, man. That was the beginning, and then I started doing jiu-jitsu, and I got hooked, and the gym was really big on competing, and, you know, it really, really changed my life for the positive. I had a lot of, like, really unhealthy habits in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, you know, just the competition aspect and maintaining my weight aspect and learning that I kind of have control over where my life goes.
Right, right.
Was really, really empowering.
Yeah, it's funny what jiu-jitsu does for you, man. You can have the worst habits. You can be like a rock, and that water is going to penetrate the rock in time where you're, you know, it's going to flush out all that bad shit out of your life. It's pretty awesome.
If you want to be serious about jiu-jitsu, you can't have but so many bad habits.
Right.
Really. Like, yeah. Your priorities change, and or your jiu-jitsu suffers.
You're going to get your ass kicked constantly if you don't. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And your ego, too. I think, you know, Joe Rogan in his black belt speech said that, like, the guys who do jiu-jitsu on average are, like, the healthiest guys to hang out with and have conversations with because they deal, like, you cannot avoid, you can try and duck people in the gym for a while, but every weakness you have will be uncovered eventually.
Oh, yeah, it's all exposed in time.
Mm-hmm. And after a while,
I love that.
Yeah, that ego, it takes a while to get flushed out, but after a while, I talked to E.T. about this on our last podcast, I want those weaknesses exposed because I want to start working on them, and I think anybody that's in the gym a while wants those same things.
Yeah, they want to forge that armor a little, make it tougher.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want this huge gaping holes in your game or whatever. You want to be solid all the way around.
Absolutely, and I think too, you know, it's this really cool concept called, and I wish I could quote the author's name right now. I totally forget. It's the guy who wrote a book called Black Swan, and not like the movie Black
That's
Swan.
That's E.T.'s favorite movie.
That's Black my
Swan,
favorite movie.
Like,
damn it.
But it's like a Black Swan event is in like those unpredictable, like horribly tragic events in your life that you could do nothing to prevent. Like you are either have a fragile response where you just kind of crumble, or you have a resilient response like the phoenix kind of rising from the ashes, or you have this anti-fragile response, which is kind of like a hydra.
Right.
Where when the head, you know, you gain strength in that sort of like horrible event, and that's something I've been really toying with because there's a couple guys at my gym that the closer you get to breaking them, they like go to like crazy Super Saiyan level, like right before they're about to mentally break, and it's just like you really have to push them because as they're getting torn apart, and as you're really beating them down, like, they get really, really tough, and they get really mentally strong, and it's like, wow.
And that's what I love about jiu-jitsu. They might not have known they were that way until jiu-jitsu brought that out of them. You know what I mean? You might not. That's the thing about jiu-jitsu. It does expose, like, who you are.
Oh, yeah.
You know, as a person, and you don't know. You don't know if you're going to break or you're going to fold or you're going to cry until somebody's mounted on you and smacking you in the face.
You're miserable.
Or, oh, fuck yeah. You don't know if you're going to give up or if you're going to fight through it.
So choosing that mental choice, like I'm not tapping to this. I'm not getting swept right now. Like it's just not. That's not going to be what happens right now.
So how long did you train with Miguel Torres?
I'm still with Miguel.
Cool.
So I started training at the end of 2006. So 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 is 8 years.
Nice.
And it's fitting because I'm like an 8 straight purple belt. So
yeah.
It works out well.
Yeah, I know. We just went this year. Brian and I got our brown belts, and it's you know, that purple belt phase, man. Most people don't make it to purple. You know, you've seen so many people drop out before even blue, and then blue is a huge dropout phase.
Oh, yeah.
It's so weird getting there and looking around the gym to who you started with and who is still around. I mean, if you join with somebody like the same week or the same month, and you look around, they're just not there anymore. By the time you get that purple belt wrapped around you, it makes you feel kind of special, you know?
And it's funny, like, if you bump into them later, and they're like, oh, you still training? Like, yeah, I just got my brown belt. And they're like, oh.
Because
you remember how untouchable when you came in, how a brown belt felt when you rolled with them, or you watched
them
roll.
Or even a blue belt, for that matter.
Yeah, and you're just like, holy shit, I will never be that good.
Never be that dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
You will in time.
Yeah, that's true.
So do you, I know that you work full time and you run your company. Do you get to train as much as you, not as much as you want. We all want to train 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
But do you get in pretty regularly?
I think that is pretty true, right? Like when I started, I'm training 3 to 4, 6 days a week if I can. You know, if I got days off, I'm training twice a day.
Nice.
Blah, blah, blah. I would so look forward to those crazy days when it was just, before I was even married, a crazy day where I had off so I could go do like strength and conditioning super early in the morning, like at 5 or 6, then I would go train at like 10, and then I would go to night class at like 7.
Nice.
God.
Oh, those were the best days ever.
Those are days you slept so off, so perfectly.
Yeah.
I would come home and I would put on like old jiu-jitsu DVDs and stuff and just pass out watching them, or like I didn't have cable. So I would just put Pride DVDs on.
Nice.
back-to-back. It was awesome. So now, with all of the working, especially since I've taken a newer position and with my son and stuff and just feeling a very pretty insane draw to spend time with him, I probably train twice a week, pretty regularly.
Mm-hmm. You got to balance out the family.
You know, there's seasons. You know, there's a couple, you know, there might be a week or two where I don't train at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I might have meetings after work, and then he's got some stuff going. Maybe he's sick or something, and, you know, maybe my wife is sick, and I really need to stay home and take care of him. So my usual nights for jiu-jitsu go out the window, and it's like, you know, oh, well.
Well, just to put it in context, you know, other than running OK Kimonos, you're also... You work in an academic setting. You want to say what you do?
Yeah, I'm an assistant principal at literally the only successful high school in Gary, Indiana. And it's been a lot of work to get there and have that because we're a charter school, but we don't have any tests to get in, and the kids don't pay any money. So our kids are the same kids as any other school. Anybody
right.
can come in. We deal with all the same issues, but... with what we do differently, you know, our special sauce, we're able to not just be the best school, because you could really be kind of crappy still and be the best. You know, the state of Indiana ranks you. They give you, like, a report card.
Yeah.
And I think this last year we were really, I don't know. The state has, like, really weird rules about talking about this, but because we're really close to getting an A.
Nice.
And I was so proud. We're so freaking close. And I really wanted that A just to show, like, our kids can do this. And it's very demanding of an assistant principal.
I am seeing visions of, like, Stand and Deliver.
Yeah.
And all those other 80s movies where the predominantly African-American high schools have, like, the Morgan Freeman that come in.
Or Dangerous Minds.
A lot of it, you know, there's truth, and then there's a lot of reputation with the kids. The kids are just like any other kids growing up in any other urban environment, Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, Atlanta, like anywhere else, where there is a lot, dealing with a lot of poverty. But our kids are really good kids, and our parents are really dedicated, and I disagree with our parents all the time, but at least they're coming from a place of love and, like, wanting us to be good, want us to be better.
Right.
So I can get with that.
So, you know, when did OK Kimonos come into existence?
So, OK Kimonos came into existence a couple of years ago. I was running GearReviews.net.
You're still running that, too. Let's throw that out there. Yeah, okay.
Absolutely. And because it's something I'm passionate about, I think it's a really important part of the community to have that information out there and create, like, a hub, mm-hmm. An area where people can talk about and have it be somebody with a little more, people say, like, well, white belt can't really review. Well, I mean, if they're training 10 times a week or 5 times a week, like, they probably can review geese.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've worn clothes your whole life. You've worn clothes your whole life. You're a black belt at wearing a jacket. You know, that's not something you need to go to class for.
Exactly. So I think, me having worn 60 different geese, different cut styles, all different things, different brands, everything. You know, it's really my input is a valuable part of the big picture, along with guys like your tattoo and stuff that really I think it's really helpful for the community versus, if they go in like a random forum or something and they say, what's a good gi? They're gonna get all these random people who have maybe worn one or two gis, whose opinions matter. But there's, I think it also helps to have a couple of central people that have worn a lot of different ones and can speak to that.
You do. You need that's why you don't just go to, like, if you want to see a movie, you don't just go to, like, Metacritic. You go to Rotten Tomatoes and Metacritic. There's reader reviews. There's all sorts. You can't just have one authority on what's good and what's bad. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not good for any business,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Any industry.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think it's a valuable part of the community. It's fun, and I BS there, and I talk about Star Wars and stuff.
Perfect.
Nothing to do with jiu-jitsu, or does it? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. It does. Star Wars got to do with everything.
It definitely does.
Luke Skywalker and A New Hope wore basically a judo gi as a top. So, see how it ties in? It ties in.
Just saying. It looks exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
So then, I was running that, and I just kind of felt like there's a lot of companies are making kids' gis as an afterthought, and nobody was really making the adult gis that I wanted. Really, OK Kimonos came from me wanting to see more of, I guess, stuff that I liked, that I wanted to wear, that I had in my head. And, you know, luckily I've been able to hook up with a lot of good people. Mirakatsu, a guy named Scott Miller has done a bunch of designs for me, who can put these things, like, I send them these horrible, like, sketches that I scan in, and I'm like, what do you think of this? And then they make it beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And Manweiler did one, and I would love it. I'll probably post it at some point soon. My original sketch versus what he came up, you know, the finished product is just beautiful, but it was just me wanting to make and wanting to create. I think that's a beautiful part of jiu-jitsu.
Right.
It's why it's a martial art, because we speak our own language. You know, we make it our own, and I've been wearing so many gis, and I'm like, I want to express myself in this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's a good opportunity to, and it's also a great opportunity to provide kids with a company that focuses on them.
You know, jiu-jitsu being as, you know, it's not as big as, you know, NBA or NFL. It is something that you can create your own product line or your apparel line based off what you like and really become successful at it, because you're not competing with Nikes and Reeboks, you know, that kind of can crush you in an instant. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what I love about jiu-jitsu. You can create something and make it quality and good, you know?
Well, like some of the bigger players, like the popular brands in jiu-jitsu right now are, like, you know, Scramble, Control, Show Your Roll, which started out that same way.
Grassroots, man.
Yeah, yeah. Those are the ones that people really like to wear now. Does that stand for Original Kids?
Yeah, and it's, I don't know, I wanted something. Well, let me say this first, because you mentioned Scramble, I challenge anybody out there claim they are a bigger Scramble fan than I am.
Okay.
And I'm a really big proponent of this. I don't think there's a lot of transparency. There's some, but there's not a lot of transparency in, you know, the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu uniform gear kind of industry, I guess you could call it, where, you know, you say, hey guys, you know, what are the best gis out there? And it's like, it's a tar gi. You got to roll with the best, man. Wear my gi.
Mm-hmm.
I did an article on my blog called Drawing Lines, which is based on a phrase from the streetwear brand I like called the Hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
And drawing lines is kind of like, you know, literally drawing lines, making art, but also drawing a line in the sand saying this is what we stand for, this is what we don't. And I wanted to make sure that people knew that my brand stand, you know, we stand for transparency. If you ask me what gis I love, mm-hmm. what am I wearing, I'll tell you.
Right.
And 99% of the time, it's maybe my brand if I'm testing stuff. But I have all these other brands that I wear all the time that I love. I love my Mirakatsu gi. I love my gis from Scramble. I have a couple from Alma from Japan that I think are super legit. There's an Australian brand called Movement that I think is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, I've seen that. So that's one thing that's going to, you know, that really shows that you're a fan of, you're not just a fan of yourself, you're a fan of everybody else's.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm a fan of jiu-jitsu, and I'm a fan of gis, and I love it. And I love that we're able to, you know, we're not freaking the tie where you got to wear whatever your, you know, the dojo gi.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just think that, you know, I'm such a disgustingly huge Scramble fan. It's ridiculous.
Well, you know, I love Scramble. We love Scramble, too. We've done some stuff for those guys, and I'm glad they've got a USA distribution ship now, because, mm-hmm. you know, that's another great brand I'm glad to see grow also, you know? For the longest time, they were just, what, based over in the UK?
UK.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they were really
small for a long time, and they did a lot of things right early on, and it really lended itself to them getting a lot bigger and getting the recognition they really deserve for their design. I think that Matt and Ben, and I think they're up to like three full-time people and one guy part-time now, but, you know, what they've done there, I think it's so impressive. And, I mean, let's be honest, like, they're making gear that, like, Matt told me one time in an interview for E-Reviews that, like, when he grows up, he wants to be Reversal. If I can give that compliment back to him and say, when I grow up, I want to be Scramble,
yeah,
that's how I feel.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I was going to ask, are you, with OK, are you modeling kind of your, the trajectory of your company after any of these existing gear companies? Or would you say that you're kind of modeling yourself after Scramble in a way you want to grow your business?
Well, I don't really have a lot of insider knowledge on, you know, Matt and I are as friends as you can be over the internet.
Yeah. But all of AT's friends are over the internet, so that makes sense. Yeah.
He just cracked on me that I
have... ET only has internet friends, so yeah he understands.
Oh, that's all right. Me too. Like, I talk about people and nobody knows. Like, they don't, nobody exists around me. It's all through email and internet and stuff.
So shove it up your ass, Ryan.
Face to face, it'll be super awkward.
Right.
So.
Oh, I don't think I'm really modeling after him. I'm really big on trying to keep geese in stock.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not my business model of choice to do only limited edition, only whatever. I got really irritated with all these new pop-up companies coming out of nowhere and saying, like, we're super limited edition, only 50 made.
Yeah.
Bro, that's because you can only afford to get 50 made.
That's just a business spin, yeah.
Yeah.
If it's super limited edition and it takes you 6 months to sell 50 of them, like, they're not limited edition. It's called You're Just Starting.
Right.
Don't try and hype it. Mm-hmm. It is what it is.
Be honest about it. I think people appreciate honesty more than they do, you know, the hurry up and buy this, it's going to be gone approach. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Be honest. Say, look, we're starting out.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we can put out. Yeah, so I agree with you.
For sure. Just say, yeah, we're, you know, this is, you know, we have, so I'm really big on keeping regular stock of these. But I get questions all the time, like, what about this? What about that? Are you going to make more? I get questions, so here's an example. I made a t-shirt, kind of my own play on those, like, so-and-so knows, it's like, Nike t-shirts.
Yeah.
I made one that said Sakuraba knows.
I want it.
I want that one. Looks awesome. I know, dude. They look awesome.
Not a lot of people had bought it, and then Miss Leezy did a post where they called it, like, the greatest Sakuraba shirt ever made. And immediately that broke my heart, because I knew that Scramble was actually working with Kazushi Sakuraba to make, like, the legit stuff, which mm-hmm. is the reason I'm not making it anymore. Like,
right.
No, I get emails literally every day or mm-hmm. every other day asking when they'll be back in stock. And it's to the point now where you can set up, like, things in your Gmail to, like, auto-populate an email back. And it's just, you kind of get, like, an almost standard message back saying, I don't make them anymore. Because Scramble makes these awesome ones, go check theirs out.
Right, the actual license through Sakuraba, right?
Absolutely, I think that's the right thing to do. I just made it as a fan,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's the right thing to do. And he's doing it, and he did it first, so
yeah,
hats off.
You know, nobody's working with Maeda because he's dead. Count Koma. just letting you know.
I'm calling. You know, though, I'm calling Genki Sudo.
Oh, shit.
I want to make some Genki Sudo stuff.
Let me tell you what, my friend. I just bought a Genki Sudo shirt off of eBay for like $30. And it's from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Their sizes aren't exactly our sizes.
Oh, boy.
So my four-year-old son has my extra large because he's about the size of an extra large Japanese gentleman. So please get on that so I can wear a goddamn Genki Sudo shirt, Brendan.
Oh, dude, I bought one of Art Junkie's shirts, and I'm a weird shaped dude, and I got a lot of shapes going on, and it's just a horrible cut for me.
Oh boy, are you a sentient snowman?
It's like, oh, looks like a fat clown. It's horrible.
Yeah, I understand. I'm in that club too. We avoid certain cuts of shirts. And if you order anything from like the UK or Japan, you just got to know you're gonna look weird. You're gonna look like a Lego man.
Exactly.
Switching gears a little bit. You're talking about you know your love of Sakuraba and stuff like that. It looks like a lot of your shirts are kind of Japanese inspired. You've got one that I really like. It's an Akira inspired shirt, the anime movie. Another of the classic Japanese MMA promotions, I think Deep, Pride,
right.
Shooto, stuff like that. Are you going to be putting out more of those type of shirts, or can you talk about those a little bit?
Sure. So I did a whole bunch of, like, Japanese JMMA shirts
mm-hmm.
all in a row. I did one that says, like, Child of God on the front,
mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, Kid Yamamoto.
Yeah,
like kind of an homage to him, and then on the side it says Original Kid, which is my brand, but it's also a take on kind of his nickname.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense to anybody; it makes sense to me. Like, for instance, that font on the side, the type that I use,
right,
is the same type that the Raiders use.
Mm-hmm.
which is the same type that the Hundreds uses, or similar type to what they use, and I love the Hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
I do, see, again, like, I make things I want to wear that have a lot of meaning to me. It may not mean a lot to other people, but...
Well, when you meet somebody that's in the know that recognizes that, it's a pretty cool connection, Brendan.
Mm-hmm. Super. This is super cool. Like, I had on my... So I make a lot of shirts. I made, like, two or three so far. The one with the list of the, like, what I consider to be some, like, the best original Japanese MMA promotions. Yep. And then I made one. I've got... They're not released yet, but the one that you're describing with the Akira characters, and then from the Pills Gang, and then also the one of the Ninja Turtles.
Ninja Turtles, right.
Oh, that is so awesome, yeah, dude. I saw that and freaked out, man, on your Instagram. Yeah.
It's great, and I love it, but it's what a lot of people don't know is it's a take on a really cool, I use a different font, but it's a take on a really famous Beatles t-shirt.
On a what t-shirt?
It just has, it says, like, Paul, and it's got all the ampersands, and it's in Helvetica, which I have a weird obsession and love for that typeface, just in general. There's a whole documentary on typefaces, and specifically on Helvetica.
Wait a minute.
I watched it three times. It's so nerdy.
I'm a huge Beatles nerd. What are you talking about with the Beatles? I'm sorry. What does it come off of?
If you Google, so already, anybody who's listening to the podcast and is near a computer on their phone or wherever they're listening to it, if you Google, like, Beatles, and that little and symbol is called an ampersand.
Right,
If you just Google Beatles ampersand, it'll come up.
Okay, I'll have to do that because I'm a big dork when it comes to that group, so okay.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it says John and Paul and George and Ray, or, yeah, John and Paul and Ringo and George. Period. And that's it. And there's been so many takes on this with, like, everything out there.
Yeah, yeah.
But I love it. And I use a different... I use, like, a Helvetica Bold or Helvetica Black instead of just the regular typeface. And I like it a lot. And I think it's really simple. And I'm going to do a whole bunch more of those, mainly because I like it. And people who don't... It doesn't frame it in your face, like, what it is. Like, if you didn't know the Beatles, you would think I had a list of shirts with, like, dudes' names on it.
Yep.
Right.
But if you know the Beatles, it's like, oh, that's such a cool shirt. Like, if you know Japanese MMA and you see my shirt, like, I worked at some local fights and there were two dudes who just geeked out.
Yeah.
Just totally geeked out.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I saw the one for Akira, I was like, oh my god, I know those names. That has nothing to do with martial arts, really, but I loved it. So, yeah, I totally get what you're coming from.
Big on, like, being an original kids brand. I want the things that were original to me when I'm a kid. Like, it's a lot of nostalgia for me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Things I'm nostalgic about that I want to bring back in my own way. Huh? So, I want to bring back, like, I want to make an Akira key.
Okay.
Like, I want to make...
Oh, God, please do.
And I want to make them in a way that, like, I would be proud to wear them. Like, I've made some stuff. Like, originally I made a bunch of t-shirts that I like, but I wear them, and I don't always necessarily feel cool.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I, like, kind of just thought to myself, like, I'm only going to make things that I'm proud to wear, that I'm choosing to wear my shirts over everything else.
Do you, have you ever seen one of your shirts or worn by somebody in your school, by a kid in your school?
Well, like, in my high school?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We were uniformed, so there's not a lot of...
Oh, wow.
No. Sounds like you could probably open a uniform.
We give out, we have in the past done gi bags with a lot of our gis. I swear to God, I was driving home one day, and I saw a kid on a bike with an OK kimonos with a drawstring gi bag with, like, not a gi in it, but, like, random crap just riding down the road. And that was about as cool as it got for me.
That's pretty awesome. I saw one of the Avid Gamer shirts one time at a game tournament and freaked out. So, I mean, it's pretty cool when you see something you didn't give away, you know, or somebody you don't know wearing something.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, when I go to local tournaments and I see people with, like, OK kimonos gis on, and I'm like, I don't even know you yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any interaction at your day job at the school regarding jiu-jitsu at all? Like, do you talk to the kids about it? Do they really know your background in martial arts? Do you use it to break up fights? I mean, anything?
I have.
Oh, oh good God.
Tell us.
Sorry, I keep coughing. I apologize.
It's okay.
So, anyways, one time a kid like was walking out of my room, and I guess he had been talking trash earlier in the day, and some other kid knew he was leaving my class and just, like, barreled into him. They went crashing over some desks and started fighting, and just, like, being able to break it up and, like, knowing how to grab people to get them to do certain things and move in a way that you want them to, like, you don't even think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Doing, like, for instance, like, I just... like, walked up, one, the kid was, like, on top of the other kid, and I just grabbed, like, an over and under from the back and lifted him up a little bit and got under his hips and just popped him, like, backwards, kind of over top of me across the room.
Wow.
And then some other kids came in and grabbed him. But, like, another example, like, right when you get there, like, kids, this is going to go on anywhere in any school with mm-hmm. teachers, but kids are going to test you, and all kids, you know, test you in their own ways. Like, if I went, like, in the town that I actually, like, where I live, very, like, just being transparent, very, like, lily white suburban town.
Right.
The kids are going to test you in a different way than, like, the kids at my high school would test you. Like, my kids, when I first met them, were joking. They're totally joking because they're good kids, but they're joking that they're, like, I'm going to get jumped. They're like, you better watch out. And I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, okay, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up. And mm-hmm. I looked at them. They were joking with me, and we went on a college tour one time. And some kids start following me, like, down the hallway. So I walk in my room, and I just kicked off my flip-flops. Oh. And I'm, like, t-shirt and shorts. I set down my bag, and I hear, don't run. And I thought they were talking to me, like, they thought I was going to run away. And I just turn around. They were talking to each other. Like, the kids saw me kick my shoes off, and just half of them bolted.
That psych-out move.
I go, look, like, to hit any of you, but whoever touches me first is going out. Like, I'm putting you out. Like, you're going to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Well, do you...
And they didn't believe me.
Well, you know, I asked you an email, and the question I was going to ask you, do you have any, like, are you a little more lenient on squabbles in your school than you think somebody else in your position would be? Because we know that we've all seen video of the Gracies in their house fighting... fighting over possibly a Tic Tac or something, you know? So you know it works out in time for some people. Are you ever more lenient on scrapping than you think other people in your position who don't train would be?
I would say I understand it a lot more. But unfortunately, like, due to the school and due to the repercussions of fighting in school and things like that, there's a lot of liability in laws. I can't.
Definitely.
I can't be lenient. I have to go by, here's our set rules. If you fight, it's this consequence and so on and so forth. You know what I mean?
Makes sense.
Well, you have to be professional, too. But, you know, it's hard to look through a different lens when your jiu-jitsu is your life. When you see stuff like that, it's hard to see it, you know.
You see, like, those people post on Facebook, or you start watching Gracie Challenge videos on YouTube, and you eventually get to, like, just the street fight videos. Those are brutal for me to watch now.
Yeah.
Like, especially people that don't train, and they're just rolling around on the ground. I'm like, God, you guys are a bunch of dummies. Well, like, you look like idiots right now.
I'll tell you, I don't think I told you, Brian, but, like, my son's 4 and he's in preschool, and probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago, he got into a scrap in his school, which, you know, at 4, you can get in a scrap with somebody, and then you're coloring with them, like, a minute later.
I still like that.
I know. And the teacher was telling me about it, and I was having her relate the story over and over, because I wanted to know, did my son, Adam, did he have mount? You know? What did he do? And I asked, I was like, this little kid.
Transition in neon belly or not?
Like, well, I asked him, I was like, the other kid, his name is Dylan, real piece of shit, if you ask me. But I was like, did he hit my son first? Yes. Oh, okay. Did Adam cry or what did he do? And they're like, no, he took the kid to the ground. I was like, okay, with what? And I think they were, they thought that I was losing sight of the story. I thought they were not giving me details of the part of the story I wanted. You know, because I was like, well, this is important to me.
Is there a video somewhere I can watch?
You've got to have security cameras in here. But yeah, so it's hard to see it through different eyes sometimes when you see combat as an art mm-hmm. and a necessity, you know?
Yeah. If you didn't train...
I'm sure when I teach my son to defend himself and stuff like that, like, it's going to be very hard for me to understand if another kid provokes him or pushes him. And I guess I can relate that way. That when I see a kid provoked and pushed... over and over again, like, the kid does everything right. If they come to us,
Yeah.
And a fight breaks out at their locker where the other kids had no business being. Their class wasn't there. Their lockers aren't over there. They clearly went to that kid's locker to pick at him. Even if the kid is getting picked on his first, it's hard for me to not feel and understand, like, when you don't feel like you have any other recourse.
Right.
Than to do something like that. Or if they get, if they're getting bullied and they get hit first, it's hard for me. I mean, we do have to give out certain consequences.
Exactly, yeah.
But I would say we're far more understanding and lenient over people that are provoked into a fight versus whatever.
Okay, Brennan.
If you sit there and just get your butt beat, then you're probably going to get suspended for being involved in, quote-unquote, a fight. But if you fight back, like,
yeah,
you know, and you're getting picked on, like, you might as well fight back. You're
exactly.
going to fight anyway.
I'm going to throw this out there, Brendan, and you can adopt it or you can't. Whatever you want to do, just feel free. If you just want the plaque. Okay, I'm going to hit you with it. You need a rule that's react like Hickson, not Hyen. meaning defend yourself and have mercy, but don't fucking kill the other person. React like Hickson, not Hyen.
Don't beat him in the face with a rock.
There's a line. You beat Hickson, you don't cross into Hyen territory.
Hickson gets up, he's calm.
If you want to put a choke on and hold them and then let them go and walk away, then that's fine, but
don't murder them.
Right.
So you can adopt that. You don't need to give me credit. Put that in the handbook for 2015.
Who is Rickson and Ryan?
Definitely going in there.
They were like, yeah, who's Rickson? Who's Rickson and Ryan?
No problem. There's a slideshow and two videos.
Nice. So, you know, when do you work on OK Kimonos? If you're, I know you're super busy. When does the muse hit you? Is it at night, or are you doing it some during the day, or is it a weekend thing? Because it sounds like OK Kimonos in your Gi review site, man, those are both super time consuming.
They are, to say the least. I think a lot of times we really discredit or overlook our DNA and, like, what we're wired for.
Really?
I've been wired for this my whole life, like, to hustle.
Right.
It worked. Like, when I was in fourth grade, to make a long story short, we did, like, a classroom activity where we had to, it was called Economic Village, and I just dominated it. Like, I started, like, a little kid business and had all the angles figured out, and it was just how I'm wired.
Right.
And I just crushed it, and then, like, 2 days later, we had to move, and I just ended up giving all my money away to all the other kids. But, like, this is what I'm wired for. Like, I get up, so here's my day. I get up at 3 a.m., like, fired up and, like, slightly pissed off. Like, pissed off in the way of, like, I cannot wait to, like, go at, like, when you're out on the mat at a tournament, you're not really mad, but you're, like, I'm about to do this. Like, this is for real. And I probably wake up every morning at 3. When I work, I either do, like, strength and conditioning for an hour, or I just work straight from, like, 3 to 6 or 3 to 7 when my son gets up.
Right.
And then I go to work until 5. I get home at, like, 5:30. I spend the whole night with him, and then if I'm not, like, totally exhausted, I'll work some more after he goes to sleep. I'll work sometimes on the weekends like this, but I'm really big on, like, it's just, I just hustle. Like, it's just, it's how I'm wired, and not everybody's wired for it. Not everybody can be an entrepreneur, and that's okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's part of the, but I mean, if everybody could, we'd have a shitty economy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure, and I think I'm really blessed that I have a job. Like, a lot of people might think, you know, well, that kind of holds you back or whatever, but the thing is, with OK Kimonos not being my primary source of income, I don't have to do unhealthy things for the brand, for the business to grow it. Like, it's not like I need to pay our mortgage, so I need to have a flash sale 40% off.
I totally can relate to that, dude. You can do stuff that you want to do on your, you know, you can stay true to a vision when your paycheck doesn't rely on that, you know. So I understand. Yeah. The lights don't stay on because of your side business. Yeah, I totally understand that.
If I only sell 10 t-shirts and one of the designs that I make, I don't give a crap.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because you did something you wanted to do.
I'm wearing it.
Yeah. Is that your eventual goal, do you think, is to have it be your primary source? Or are you happy with it kind of being your side thing?
I love education. I love teaching. Being a principal now is a very – I don't know if you guys have ever moved from, like, a in-the-field position to then a leadership position – but anybody who's done that, it's very different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very different being a student in a jiu-jitsu class and then becoming the instructor.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I get that. Brian doesn't know anything about that, but I understand that. Totally.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And one of the big things is that being a principal is really difficult and it's brand new. So I'm a black belt at teaching, but I'm a white belt at being a principal.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, I guess it's time in your field too, right?
Right. So I don't think that necessarily I'm in any rush to make it full-time, but yeah, I'd love to. You know, I did a thing the other day where I kind of outlined my perfect work day.
Okay.
You know, what would my perfect day look like in an effort to build, because, like, yeah, I'm wired to hustle, but it's also, it's a double-edged sword because it's also detrimental. I would literally spend all day working.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Not work out, not eat healthy, not go to jiu-jitsu sometimes because it's just like, I have so much work to do and I love this.
Yeah. You will start to lose the forest for the trees, you know, if you do make that your primary thing, you know. I understand that, too.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So what did that day look like, if you don't mind me asking, Brendan?
So the day begins the same. I get up super early.
Yeah.
And then I work until my son gets up. And then my son and my wife get up, and then I'll play and hang out with them.
Mm-hmm.
Either if he takes, like, an early, let's say my jiu-jitsu is at 10 a.m., I go to jiu-jitsu at 10, come home and get, you know, I'm ready to go by noon, work until 4, from noon to 4. So that's, what, 3 hours in the morning, 4 hours in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 4, I just have family time with him. And then I put in, you know, the rest of the night is just family time or whatever else we're doing. And then the weekend, Saturday is family day. And then Sunday is kind of a work day.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So church in the morning and then work the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my perfect, like, lifestyle business.
So not necessarily working 8 or 7 or 9 hours at once, but you're breaking it up throughout the day and kind of doing it on your own schedule. That sounds nice.
That's ideal.
Like, yeah. Yeah, work
with... Absolutely, not just working, you know, I'd rather work 60 hours a week for myself than 40 for somebody else.
Gotcha. Yep. No, I understand that.
Yep.
And future projects coming up, are you starting a podcast yourself?
So I'm actually starting... clearly don't have enough to do, right? So one of the podcasts that I'll be starting that's going to be launching in January is called Entrepreneurs and Coffee, which is really a, I don't know how else to describe it other than a way for me to teach everything that I've learned building this business.
Nice.
And doing what I've done. Like, I think at this point, my wife is probably kind of sick of hearing about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to tell strangers.
So I want to teach, you know, I want to teach people, and I think a podcast is a really great way to do it. Like, sure, I could say, like, private consulting or coaching and blah, 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 but I like putting stuff out, you know, B-reviews and stuff. I like putting stuff out there for free.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It makes it more authentic.
A great way to do it. And then the second one will probably launch in April, probably around my birthday, April 17th, if anybody wants to send me a present.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's raising their hand on this side, Brendan.
Andy, do you want to send me a present? I know you're still listening.
She turned off a long time ago.
She can't stand E.T.'s voice.
If anybody's listening at this point, like, just email me and I'll send you a prize. worst guest ever.
Yeah.
So around April, I want to launch, like, a jiu-jitsu podcast. I kind of fell off with the Gi Reviews podcast, and it was just really hard to get guests and logistics, and I started taking away a lot of time from my wife and my son, and I decided it wasn't really the right time for that, but I'm going to restart it, not the Gi Reviews podcast, but just a jiu-jitsu podcast in general. My goal is just to have a daily podcast where we answer a lot of common questions that people have.
Okay.
And the cool thing about a daily podcast is
really, hopefully, be really helpful, beneficial, and free. You just see in the title, hey, I've been wondering that before, too. Let me listen to that 5-minute episode, you know, while I'm walking the dog or something.
That's what I was about to say. If you do a daily podcast, the cool thing is, like, because we do there so sporadically, we have to kind of give an hour to keep, you know, people. But if you do a daily one, 5 to 10 minutes at the most, it's so easy to put out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And just so much, my goal is always, with OK Kimonos, you know, we did like a 30 days of minimalism challenge where I got rid of one thing every day.
Right.
And it was really, it was minimalism / essentialism, like only having the things that you need.
Yeah.
Towards the end of this year, probably mid-December, I'm going to be giving away literally all of my keys.
Whoa.
We're going to be selling them all. Like, I've raised, let me say this. I've not raised it. I don't want to take credit for it. The Gee Reviews community, people who have bought my gently used geese that I then give the money directly to Tap Cancer out.
Oh,
and
man.
We've been able to raise a lot of money so far.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to make it big. I want to sell all of my geese.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't need them. I run a geese company.
Mm-hmm.
I want to sell all of them for charity. I have, this isn't a humble brag, but like because of Gee Reviews and because of, friends and because I buy geese because I love them, I have a lot, like still.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And a lot of different brands, a lot of styles and stuff. And I it's just excessive. It's unnecessary. They sit and you get, and I know this is, again, like first world problems, but like you go to pick a gi to wear to class and you have to spend 5 minutes deciding.
Right.
It's unnecessary and it's stupid and it is a first world problem. And I would rather share those gis and give away the money. Like that would be way more rewarding to me than, gi hoarding, which I think is such a freaking joke. Like I get it if you want to collect crap, but necessarily like glorifying this wild consumerism with gis, like it's just, I know it sounds redundant, right? Because I want everybody to buy my gis.
Well, you want people to buy them, not hoard them. I think what you're saying is, it's cool to love geese and stuff, but you don't want to have like a Kanye West-esque closet, of just, over exaggerated love of geese. I get what you're saying, Brendan.
Seeing what I see and seeing where I work and stuff like that, like kids who can't afford to get freaking haircuts.
Yeah.
Like, come on. And I'm sitting here on thousands of dollars of geese.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I see people are like, bro, here's my gi collection, everybody's like, that's so sick, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I'm into gis. It's like, you're disgusting.
Yeah.
And I will draw a line in the sand on that. Like, I'm disgusted by that. Like, you could literally, let's say you raise $1,000 for cancer research, or let's say you donated it to some local charity, like, $1,000 could change somebody's life.
Oh, it definitely can.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting on $8,000 worth of gis that you don't wear, have never worn and never planned to wear.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know, just not how my mind works.
I'm with you on that. I don't have too many geese. I wear mine a lot, and it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Like I buy geese to wear them, to get choked by them, and to choke other people with them. Like I don't see the point of. I'm not going to hang them up in my closet or display them or anything like that. It's not like Hoist Gracie's gi from UFC 1. We're talking about.
Yeah.
It's the. Whatever it, show it's not some manual, match or
yeah,
something.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of pointless, to be honest.
And they're just, some geese are just way
expensive.
Overpriced. Way
yeah.
Overpriced.
Yeah. $1,000 for some brands, that could be like 4 or 5 geese.
Yeah.
And that's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they're utilitarian. They're just to be in here, like you said,
Yeah. I plan to use them.
Yeah.
They're a tool in your toolbox. You want to use it. You don't buy a hammer and then, like, just. Leave it there.
I have 60 hammers.
Oh, boy. All right. He's a hammer collector.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to come over and look at my screwdriver collection.
Don't touch that one. Don't touch that one. Yeah.
We'll let that one go.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting close to the hour mark, Brendan, and I want to be respectful to your time. Can you give out some addresses, your web address and stuff like that, and your Instagram and all that good stuff where people can follow you and see what OK Kimonos is up to?
Sure. So it's literally OK Kimonos, no exclamation mark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everywhere. So Twitter is at OK Kimonos.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram is at OK Kimonos. Facebook is facebook.com/OK Kimonos.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the best place to check all of it out. Same with Gee Reviews, facebook.com/GeeReviews, at GeeReviews on Twitter. GeeReviews.net is the website.
Okay.
I'm trying to buy the .com and the .org from people, and they're like, I want 27,000 euro. And it's like, mm-hmm. I don't even know what you're saying to me. That's mm-hmm. ridiculous.
Yeah. Right. People
so
that want
I make $500,000 a year on it. It's like, no, you don't. Come on.
Why? It's just got a picture of a puppy barking. Yeah. That's a placeholder. Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous because people all the time are hitting me up trying to sell me Avid Gamer domains that they registered in 1999. It's like, well, if you've done nothing with it, I'm not paying you exuberant amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right, thank you for domain squatting, mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah.
And so we just roll with eReviews.net around here.
Okay.
That's really the best way to get a hold of me. My personal account is facebook.com/MrHufford. Because they let me change it, but all of the Brendan Hufford variations were taken, and I didn't want to do something weird with a bunch of numbers on the end. So he made it Mr. Hufford.
Yeah.
M.R. Hufford.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's really the best way to get a hold of me. If you shoot me an email at brendan.gereviews@gmail.com or just okkimonos@gmail.com,
mm-hmm.
I'll answer any question anybody has. Like, pretty much about anything. That's the first email. If you sign up for the OK Kimono's email list, the first email you get is literally saying, like, what can I help you with? Like, that's what I'm big about, and that's part of why I'm shipping this Entrepreneurs and Coffee podcast is, like, I want to help people. I feel like this is a very, this has to do with my faith and other things, too, but, you know, this, sorry, my crazy dog's running downstairs. Did you ever get the dogs?
No, Brian's got a cat.
I have a cat.
Well, my dog's pretty much, you'll understand, my dog's pretty much a cat. Like, he hates us.
Yeah? Oh.
He's on everything, and he's a total dick.
Oh.
Oh, time. Wow. You sure you don't have a cat?
Right.
You might actually have a cat, Brendan. You need to go to the vet and get that checked. Yeah.
You might want to reevaluate your definition of dog.
Yeah. He purrs a lot.
I was just asking people, like, you don't know what college major to pick? Maybe I can help you. Like, can't get your kid to eat vegetables? Like, I'll help. Like, I just want to bring.
So it's like a Dear Abby.
You have a Dear Abby.
Yeah.
Anything? Yes, I have no clue how to get your kid to eat vegetables. My kid eats like fruit and macaroni. I have no idea.
Yeah, man, I feel you. We're in the same boat.
I just want to help people. I just want to bring value. I just, you know, I think that's kind of my unfair advantage is that I'm wired to that.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is what made me a really successful teacher. Like, I'm wired to build relationships with people. I think that is kind of the key for success in anything.
You also see, just from talking to you and kind of emails, you also seem to be somebody who's got the engine that just keeps running and wants to do stuff, Brendan. And that's pretty damn awesome if you have a vision, mm-hmm. you can implement it. And that's what you say, and, you know, they say everybody can be an entrepreneur. No, they can't. It's something, I mean, yeah, everybody can, but not everybody has that motor or wants to develop that internal motor to do things like that, where they're constantly moving forward,
mm-hmm.
you know?
It's hard. It's tiring.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's freaking exhausting. And you get the highs and lows.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, the worst. But the worst is if you don't have that, if you're not wired for that, you don't genuinely know and believe in your heart of hearts that this is what you're meant to do. When you hit those lows, you'll just bail. You know what, I don't have time, or this isn't worth it, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you sit there and you look at inventory, or you don't get an order for a week, or something crazy happens, and you're like, should I just shut this down? Like,
mm-hmm.
No, I don't know what to do now. And then you get like 9 orders in 2 hours for some shenanigans or, you know, some other brands will scoff at that because they, you know, they sell out all their D's in like 10 minutes. But like, it's not really about that for me. It's about like, if anybody has ever ordered anything from me, they'll understand the amount of care and time I put into like packaging and silly stuff like that.
Brendan kisses every package personally before he sends it out. You will get a kiss package.
Personally, I also light incense around it. Like,
if you buy a shirt from Avid Gamerware,
if you buy a shirt
from Avid Gamerware, I will cuddle and snuggle that package personally before it goes in the mail.
Yeah, that's why you're getting
game worn shirts.
Yep.
I've already worn this for 7 hours of Call of Duty.
They're like, wait a minute, there's pit stains on this shirt,
and that's why you don't have any repeat business, ET.
did you spill a hot pocket on this shirt? They're like, that's what I get. Did you spill a hot pocket on the shirt? I'm like, it's a pizza roll. Pizza roll, bro.
You're disgusting.
So, Brendan, we're gonna let you go, man. We're going to wrap it up because people probably – I feel that people after 55 minutes, they start to – their IQ starts to go down.
Man, you know what? I really appreciate it. If anybody – so this is – here's my thing. Anybody listen to this – to me and you guys, and I think, you know, I had a rad time talking to you, and I hope everybody really enjoyed it.
And we'll do it
again. I want literally everybody who listened to this entire interview to shoot me an email, okkimonos@gmail.com. Let me know, and I'll give you something awesome.
Whoa! That is the coolest thing you can do. And, let me tell you, right now, Brian's thinking of how many fake names he can make up for Hotmail accounts.
Oh, you better believe that I'm getting my mom to email Brandon.
Look at all these requests coming from the same IP address.
I'll tell you, it's Sandy Engel 69 MILF Cougar at Yahoo.com.
You're a real piece of shit.
hold on. I'm going to wrap the podcast up, but stay on the phone, okay?
All right,
don't hang up. Man, that was awesome. We're gonna have him back.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, he's still on the phone, so you can hear us. Brandon, you're coming back on here, man. You might as well hear it. You're going to come back on here.
Fantastic. I'd love to.
Oh, yeah. We got to make this a regular guest.
Keep checking in.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You guys got a hustle and an opinion, and that's what we love. I want to, again, thank everybody for listening and subscribing and sharing. And, you know, man, sometimes I'll just Google our podcast and to see what it's doing, and I'll find in a lot of countries – it's weird countries. We're like high up on the download charts.
Nice.
Like the Philippines.
Yeah, really?
Holy fuck. The Philippines?
The Philippines love it?
They love it.
They have a really big, like, a lot of them speak English, so I'm not surprised you guys got a rad podcast.
Well, thank you. It's pretty cool what you put out there. It's not local. It's global now because of internet.
That's good news for you. You know how you feel about the Asians.
I
love them.
I have a thing.
Love them.
I have a thing.
E.T.'s got a type.
Yep.
And they're Asians.
I know. So. He's not kidding.
That's actually a true story.
So thank you everybody for listening, and you know, check out OK Kimonos, and shoot Brendan an email. Check us out on Brian runs half-heartedly our Instagram account.
All right, it's Jiu-Jitsu Geeks on Instagram. Jiu-Jitsu Geeks, all one word.
And if you ask Brian any question, he will come back with an answer.
Yep.
So please, that's the challenge for Brian. Ask him any question.
Oh God,
keep it. He doesn't know about women or success or money or how to deal with weird rashes. None of that stuff. That all befuddles Brian.
Yeah.
So don't ask him questions about that. Ask him any question you want on jiu-jitsu, and he'll do the best to answer it.
Mm-hmm.
And until then, I want to thank Brendan and thank Brian, and I'll talk to you guys later. We'll record something later. We got some more guests in the pipeline.
Cool. All right.
All right.